Imagine it's 3 a.m. on a Sunday. You decide you want to sell a piece of a $2 million commercial property in Miami. And like within 3 seconds, the transaction clears and the cash is just sitting right there in your digital wallet.
Right. Zero real estate brokers involved. No escrow companies holding your funds hostage for weeks.
Exactly. No mountain of notarized paperwork either. I mean, this isn't some futuristic science fiction scenario. This is the literal collision of blockchain technology and traditional real estate, and it is happening right now in 2026.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, the underlying financial infrastructure is undergoing just a massive rewrite.
Yeah.
We are taking the oldest, heaviest, arguably most illiquid asset class in human history.
Physical land.
Physical land, yeah.
Yeah.
And the actual building sitting on it. And we're forcing it to operate at the speed of the internet.
And that tension is exactly what we are unpacking today. We've pulled together a heavy-hitting stack of materials for you to guide us through this. We're looking at a highly detailed, practical framework published on the Osul Gamma blog.
Right, which gives us a great baseline.
Yeah, and then we are cross-referencing their platform mechanics, some major 2026 analytical reports. We've got the World Economic Forum, Deloitte, PwC, the SEC, and even the International Monetary Fund.
And honestly, the consensus across those institutional reports is striking. I mean, tokenized real estate has moved entirely out of the experimental sandbox at this point.
It's not just a crypto fad anymore.
Not at all. It is now a foundational structural shift in global asset management. And primarily, that's because it solves a massive friction point for modern investors, people who want the, you know, the user experience of a digital asset, but they desperately want the economic gravity of a physical one.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive is to distill exactly how fractional real estate investing via blockchain operates under the hood. Like, why is there this massive wave of capital pivoting to the space right now?
And more importantly, how you can actually apply this to balance your own portfolio without stepping on a regulatory landmine.
Yeah, nobody wants a visit from the SEC. But before we get into the whole portfolio strategy thing, the nuts and bolts really have to make sense. So, okay, let's unpack this. How do we actually turn a concrete building into a digital token?
It sounds like magic, but it's just math and law.
Right, because the Osul Gamma Guide, they use a $2 million residential development as their baseline example. So if that property's ownership is divided into, say, 20,000 digital tokens, and I step in and I buy 500 of them.
Okay, 500 tokens.
Yeah, I've always thought of this like buying the digital equivalent of, I don't know, the front door and maybe a couple of the living room windows, right? Like, I own a specific physical chunk of the architecture.
What's fascinating here is that the architectural analogy, while it makes intuitive sense, it actually totally breaks down when you look at the legal structure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You are not buying the physical front door.
Right.
You cannot, you know, show up to the property and demand that the tenants let you paint your specific windows blue.
So no midnight renovations for me.
Exactly. You are purchasing a proportional share of the entire asset's financial performance.
Okay, wait. So I don't own, like, the plumbing in the guest bathroom. I just own a mathematical percentage of the overarching entity that holds it?
Yes, exactly. You own a fraction of the total economic value and the total cash flow generated by the whole property. So according to the mechanics outlined in all these sources, your returns are derived from two distinct revenue streams.
Okay, what's the first one?
The primary stream is the yield, which is basically just the rental income. The tenants living in that $2 million development, they pay their monthly lease.
Right.
And that income is collected and distributed proportionally among all token holders. So if you hold 500 out of those 20,000 tokens, you receive your exact mathematical percentage of that rent.
Oh, wow. Okay. And the second stream?
The secondary stream is capital appreciation. So when the underlying physical property increases in value over time, you know, due to inflation, local market demand, or structural improvements.
The neighborhood gets gentrified, that sort of thing.
Exactly. When that happens, the inherent value of your digital tokens rises in tandem.
Okay. I understand the revenue streams. I mean, that makes total sense. But if I can push back on the novelty here for a second. Fractional ownership is not a new invention.
Sure.
I mean, real estate investment trusts, or REITs, they've existed for decades. People have been pooling their money to buy commercial real estate long before Bitcoin was even, like, a white paper.
Oh, absolutely.
So why does putting this on a blockchain actually matter? Like, what's the actual point?
That is the big question. And the Deloitte and McKinsey reports, they isolate the true innovation here perfectly. And honestly, it has nothing to do with the concept of fractional ownership itself.
Okay, so what is it?
The breakthrough is the programmable infrastructure. See, a traditional REIT is a corporate entity. You are buying shares in a company that owns real estate.
Right.
Which means you are paying for the massive administrative overhead of that company.
Yeah.
You have property managers, fund managers, accountants, lawyers, escrow agents.
Just a small army of people wearing suits.
Exactly. And every single human intermediary introduces friction. They take a percentage of the profits and they slow down the distribution of capital.
Oh, right. Because you're waiting weeks for an accountant to verify a rent roll, clear it through a traditional banking system, and then eventually route a dividend to your brokerage account.
Yes. But with blockchain, the ledger is decentralized and immutable. The ownership transfer happens instantaneously and securely without a central county clerk needing to physically stamp a document.
Which is huge.
But the real mechanism that changes the game is the smart contract.
Yeah.
McKinsey highlights how these automated agreements, which are written directly into code, they systematically replace those human intermediaries.
It sounds like almost like a massive decentralized vending machine.
A vending machine.
Yeah, like the tenant deposits their rent into the digital slot and the smart contract just automatically drops a fractional payment into 20,000 different digital wallets simultaneously.
I love that. That is a perfect mechanical comparison.
Mm.
The smart contract distributes the rental income the exact microsecond the conditions in the code are met.
No waiting for the end of the financial quarter.
None at all. There is no middleman skimming a 2% management fee just to, you know, update a spreadsheet and click send on a bank transfer.
Yeah.
It engineers this administrative efficiency that traditional property systems just fundamentally cannot replicate.
Okay, so here's where it gets really interesting to me. We understand the vending machine mechanics, sure, but the human behavior driving this trend feels deeply contradictory.
How so?
Well, historically, crypto investors and real estate investors have fundamentally opposite psychologies. I mean, the crypto culture is built on exponential overnight growth. It's highly volatile, borderless, operates 247.
Right, the Wild West.
Exactly. And real estate is the exact opposite. It appreciates slowly, it is entirely localized, and it's highly regulated.
Very.
So why is a notoriously risk-tolerant crypto investor suddenly, you know, parking their capital in a slow-moving physical asset? Are they just getting financially seasick from the volatility?
It's a great observation.
Yeah.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture analyzed by PwC and the IMF, we actually see a profound psychological maturation in the market.
Maturation.
Yeah. The massive influx of capital isn't about crypto investors abandoning digital assets. It's actually driven by a critical need for portfolio balance.
Oh, I see. They're just exhausted by the volatility. I mean, watching your net worth swing wildly based on a single social media post from a tech CEO takes a huge mental toll. They're looking for an anchor.
Anchor is the precise term. The IMF report uses similar language. The crypto markets provide unmatched asymmetric growth potential, right?
Huge upside.
Huge. But the lack of underlying physical utility makes them highly susceptible to violent market corrections. Real estate provides that stabilizing anchor because the value of a physical building is literally tethered to its geographic location, local housing demand, and the broader physical economy.
Right. It generates consistent yield based on real people paying to live in real spaces.
Exactly. But the friction point there has always been the user experience.
Yeah, because a crypto native investor who is used to swapping assets seamlessly on decentralized exchanges, they do not want to walk into a brick and mortar bank, sit at a mahogany desk, and fill out endless mortgage applications.
Never going to happen. And that is the core thesis of the IMF analysis. Tokenization solves the user experience problem.
How exactly?
Well, these investors are gaining exposure to physical stabilizing assets while remaining entirely entrenched within the digital infrastructure they already trust and prefer.
Oh, I get it. They're using the exact same digital wallets to hold pieces of a commercial office building that they use to hold their Bitcoin.
Precisely. It bridges the psychological gap between the physical and digital worlds for them.
It is brilliant in theory. I mean, it really is. But we have to stress test this, because whenever the physical world's limitations crash into digital expectations, things tend to break.
They absolutely do.
Let's go back to my 3 a.m. Sunday scenario from earlier. If I'm holding a major cryptocurrency, the liquidity is virtually absolute. I can tap a button and liquidate my position to buyers all over the globe instantly.
True.
Can I actually do that with my tokenized townhouse?
Yeah.
Or am I just holding in a liquid bag masquerading as a fluid digital token?
This raises an important question, and honestly, It is the primary vulnerability that the World Economic Forum and the SEC focus on in their reports.
The catch.
The catch, yes.
Yeah.
Tokenizing a physical asset does not magically erase the physical laws of economics. The sources outline three major risks that are inherent to this bridge, and it starts with liquidity risk.
Right. Because the technology might move at the speed of light, but buyer psychology still moves at the speed of human interest.
Exactly. The blockchain technology allows for the instant transfer of the token.
Sure.
But for a transfer to execute, there actually must be a counterparty on the other side of the trade.
Someone has to actually want to buy my fraction of the duplex.
Right. And secondary markets for real estate tokens are growing rapidly, but they do not possess the deep global liquidity of major cryptocurrency exchanges.
Which makes sense.
So if you need to liquidate your real estate tokens in a panic, and there is no active trading volume for that specific property on the platform, the speed of the blockchain is totally irrelevant. You are fundamentally constrained by market demand. You have to approach this with the understanding that you may need to hold the asset longer than anticipated.
Wow, okay. And even if there is a buyer, the price of the token is still chained to the physical reality of the building. I mean, putting a duplex on a blockchain does not magically insulate it from a 2008-style housing crash.
No, it doesn't. And that is the second major vulnerability, market risk. The digital wrapper does not alter the underlying macroeconomic forces.
A house is still a house.
Exactly. Tokenization does not lower national interest rates. It doesn't prevent local factory closures, and it certainly does not guarantee high occupancy rates in a specific neighborhood.
So property values still fluctuate based on tangible economic conditions?
100%. If the local housing market crashes, the value of your tokens will crash right alongside it, regardless of how elegantly the smart contract is coded.
Which is terrifying, but fair. But the third risk seems even more existential to me. What happens if the platform itself vanishes?
Oh, yeah.
Because in the traditional world, if my real estate broker goes out of business, I still hold the physical deed to my house. But in this ecosystem, you are relying on a startup to maintain the bridge between the token and the legal rights to the concrete.
Platform and regulatory risk is heavily emphasized by the 2026 evolving legal frameworks. For instance, the European Securities and Markets Authority recently rolled out their Comprehensive Markets in Crypto Assets Regulation.
That's MiCA, right?
Yes, known as MiCA. And simultaneously, the US SEC has aggressively updated their guidelines concerning digital asset securities. And both of these regulatory bodies are laser-focused on investor protection.
Meaning they want to ensure that the platform minting these tokens actually has a legally binding claim to the physical property in the real world.
Exactly. Because if a platform operates outside of these compliant frameworks, like if they do not structure the asset in a legally recognized bankruptcy remote vehicle, your digital token could become completely worthless if the platform goes under or faces regulatory enforcement.
Wait, really? So you could lose your entire investment, not because the underlying real estate failed, but just because the digital bridge was structurally unsound.
Precisely. It's a massive blind spot for people who don't read the fine print.
Okay, so what does this all mean for you listening who actually wants to execute this strategy safely? We understand the mechanics, we know why the massive capital pivot is happening, and we are, you know, clear-eyed about the risks.
The question is how to proceed.
Right. How do you navigate this space without stepping into a regulatory trap? The Azul Gamma Guide lays out an onboarding playbook, but how do we ensure we are dealing with a legitimate entity and not the Wild West of unregulated crypto?
Well, the very first filter is the compliance onboarding. This is really where the decentralized ethos of hardcore crypto clashes violently with the regulatory realities of physical real estate.
Yeah, those two worlds don't mix easily.
They don't. If a platform allows you to purchase fractions of a building simply by connecting an anonymous digital wallet, you should immediately walk away.
Oh, wow. Just a hard no.
A hard no. Because physical real estate is bound by strict property laws. You cannot anonymously own a piece of a skyscraper.
Right. The government always wants to know who owns the land.
Always. Legitimate platforms operating in mature regulated markets require rigorous identity verification. You must go through standard KYC or know your customer protocols.
So uploading your passport, a selfie, all that.
Yeah, submitting government identification, proving your residency. It is a non-negotiable requirement for compliance with the SEC and those MiCA frameworks we talked about.
Okay, so once you clear the KYC hurdle, how does the funding mechanism actually work? Do you have to liquidate your crypto holdings into fiat currency just to participate?
Not necessarily. The most effective platforms, like Azul Gamma, are designed specifically to act as bridges between the two financial systems.
Oh, so they take both.
Yeah, they typically accept traditional fiat currency via standard bank transfers, as well as major cryptocurrencies and stablecoins.
Which is incredibly smart.
It is. It lowers the barrier to entry by allowing investors to deploy capital directly from the financial ecosystem they currently operate in.
So the account is funded, the identity is verified. At this point, you're essentially looking at a highly curated dashboard of income-generating properties.
Like browsing a digital catalog.
Right. And you can dive into the specifics of the physical asset, analyze the projected rental yields, review local market conditions, read the regulatory risk disclosures.
All the due diligence stuff.
Yeah. But the strategic advice from the sources on how to build this portfolio feels, I don't know, somewhat counterintuitive.
Why is that?
Well, why shouldn't an investor just find the single highest yielding property in Miami and dump all their allocated capital into those specific tokens? If it's a winner, ride it, right?
Because real estate is hyper-local. The consensus across all the financial reports advocates heavily for diversification to mitigate that exact market risk we discussed earlier.
Oh, right, spreading out the bets.
Exactly. A regulatory change in a single city or a major employer leaving a specific town that can completely devastate a local rental market.
Yeah, like if a tech giant closes their headquarters, suddenly nobody's renting those luxury apartments.
Precisely. By taking your capital and spreading it across small fractions of 10 different buildings in 10 distinct geographic locations, you smooth out your overall portfolio performance. If one local market dips, the other nine properties stabilize the yield.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. They also stress the necessity of a long-term mindset, which to me, this requires a massive rewiring of investor psychology, especially for those accustomed to the crypto space.
Really does.
You cannot check the price of a tokenized apartment building every 4 hours, expecting a massive speculative pump.
No, absolutely not. The blockchain provides modern, immediate access to the asset and friction-free distribution of the rental yield, yes. But the capital appreciation of the physical concrete still takes years.
It's not a get-rich-quick scheme.
It's a stabilizing component of a portfolio. It's designed to reward patience, not to be a lottery ticket for overnight wealth.
You know, this entire deep dive really highlights a fundamental reshaping of how we interact with physical space through digital tools.
It's a paradigm shift.
It truly is. Fractional real estate investing via blockchain is the ultimate financial bridge. It shatters the traditional barriers to entry, meaning you no longer need millions of dollars or deep institutional connections just to access high-quality commercial real estate.
It democratizes it.
Yeah, it takes the transparent, highly efficient digital ease of the crypto ecosystem and anchors it, to use your word, to the physical stability and predictable yield of tangible property.
It basically allows modern investors to construct a portfolio that finally speaks both languages simultaneously. They get to capture the technological speed of code alongside the economic permanence of concrete.
Which is incredible. We have spent a lot of time today exploring the seamless automation of smart contracts. We looked at how they operate like a vending machine, effortlessly distributing your fraction of the rent the moment the funds hit the account, entirely without human intervention.
The ideal digital scenario.
Right. But consider this: what happens when the physical world outright fails the digital one?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
If a literal pipe bursts in the ceiling of that $2 million building at 2 a.m., how does a decentralized smart contract know to authorize an emergency payment to a local plumber?
It doesn't.
Furthermore, does your highly liquid digital token instantly drop in value the exact moment the water hits the floorboards? Or does the digital market lag behind the physical reality?
The lag could be devastating.
We are building these incredible, instantaneous financial bridges, but the messy, unpredictable collision of flawless code and deteriorating concrete is only just beginning. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep questioning the systems around you, and we will catch you next time.